thought he was going to make it, so he may come in.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay.
What do we need? How many of us do we need for quorum?
We need 5, and we have it.
Oh, good. So, okay.
Okay, so let's go ahead. Larry, are you recording? Yes, you are.
Yes.
Okay, so welcome everyone to the Arizona State Hospital Independent Oversight Committee. It is May 20th at 6:03, and we have quorum. So again, we have Barb, Lori, Ashley, Natalie, Kim, and Dee. So that makes it official. Before we begin, do we have anyone that needs to disclose any conflict of interest? Okay, with nothing being heard, let's go ahead. Has everyone been able to review and approve the meeting minutes?
Yes.
Okay, so is that a motion to approve?
I motion to approve the minutes from April.
Okay, that is Barb. Do I have a second?
This is Natalie, I'll second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, so moved. Now, Larry, do we have an update from ADOA on the bylaws and our escalation?
Yes, bylaws are finished and they are posted on our IOC website for public comment. They've been up there now for 2 weeks and they will be up till June 1st. And at that time, once the timeline has expired, then I will take the guidelines down for Director Tobin to sign off on, and I'll post those on directly on your page on the website.
Oh, thank you.
To make it more, a little bit more convenient, I will post a link to them in the chat box, so you'll know.
Okay.
Where to find those if you want to go look at them. All the committees are posted on one page there, the links to the page, to the guidelines, rather. So, in regard
to the notes, is that allowed? I just don't want to break the rules.
Yeah, you can put that in our notes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Sure. Not a problem. In regards to the escalation, I have not had any resolution to that yet. I've spoken to Director Tobin regarding the issue, and I hope to have some sort of resolution back to the group here shortly. I know I told you that last month, and Director Tobin wanted to meet with Senator Bartow and then effort to get with Dr. Chris. So I should have an answer with you guys hopefully very soon.
Okay, thank you, Larry. Any other updates?
Year end, we're going to get back on track and per the statute for year end reports. So year end is going to be ending in June 30th. So at that time, I'm going to need your year end report sometime in mid to late August. I know you just did your report, so it just feels like you just submitted your year-end report from last year. So, but yeah, we're going to get back on track. It's going to be somewhat of a truncated report this time. But we need to get back on track, and so we can meet our deadlines that's set in statute, which is November 1st. So I'll be sending out a reminder email to the group here in the next month to remind everybody.
Okay. So just for clarity's sake, I did it, and I can't remember when I turned it in. Was it through October last year? Something like that, November. Whatever I did, do you want me to go from the date I stopped reporting last through June 30th, or do you want me to do a full calendar year?
No, just the time you stopped reporting.
Okay.
through June 30th.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
Mm-hmm. I'll work on that.
Okay. And that's really all I had for the group. Does anybody have any further questions for me?
Okay. I don't think so, Larry. I think if we do, we'll ask if we go in. So let's review the
Sounds
action
great.
Items that and follow up on ongoing discussions. Let's see. So the responses, again, I was sending out, but just for everyone on the public meeting, Ash gave descriptions of times and days. Our team would like to see all the information presented that way. We thought they did a really nice job on what they showed us last time. So this time they sent us mechanical restraints as calculated by 1,000 patient days, which allowed a comparison, comparative analysis of hospitals with a range of population sizes. And if you guys looked at that, I'm not sure if you saw it or not. Larry, do you have that handy or no?
What, Lori?
Did you
have
that?
My headphones.
Did you have
the response?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Would you like me to present that?
Yeah, if you just would like to present that mechanical restraint chart, I think that's an interesting one.
Sure. See. Let me see if I can pull this up for you real quick. Seclusion and restraints, 1,000 days.
And then we had mechanical restraints this time, which that one looked a little high. So while you're pulling it up.
I have it up, Lori, if you are able to.
Let's see.
Can I do that?
I don't know if you can share. Do you have a present now button?
Oh, I do, but then it's giving me the block. Can you see it?
Yeah, I can
see
it.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
So what you can see as far as mechanical restraints, ash is the first column, so it's well above the average of the other hospitals. So that is a little bit concerning as we see that. And we could ask, I think that when we had a discussion, I think it was a response that rather than, because I think Dr. Potts mentioned at that point, why not just give them a chemical restraint, right? And is it better not to keep someone on restraints that long? I think I had a follow-up conversation where he said, well, they like to make sure people are doing okay, right? They like to want to make sure that they're getting better and they don't need to stay in restraints or others. So you can see the mechanical restraints is high. The physical restraints, they're still above average as well. But I think the seclusions, from what I recall last month, weren't alarming. They were under what other hospitals reported. Let's see. No, physical was high. No, seclusions are high too. Physical, seclusion, and mechanical. They're all above average for fiscal year 2020. So does the committee have anything they'd like to ask about based on those reports? So based on all the comparative analysis, Arizona State Hospital seems to be higher.
I could propose that we ask them what their hypothesis is about that, if they've ever thought about that or discussed it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll second. Second that motion, specifically with the mechanical restraints, it's so much higher than all of the other hospitals. So I'm curious what the reasoning or, yeah. Hypothesis is a good word.
Okay. Who's the second from?
I heard Ashley.
Thank you.
Okay. And all in favor? Aye. Anyone opposed?
Aye.
Okay, so moved. The other thing I think I'd ask, so we'd ask their hypothesis for why they think it's so high, but also I think I'd like to understand what are they doing to get that more in line with at least on par, but not exceeding. What are they going to do to reduce it?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think we can include it all in one. So what is your hypothesis as to why it's so high, and what is the plan moving forward to reduce that number?
Okay. I second your revised motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, so moved. Okay, so then our second concern was about the patient and administrative restraints. And they will have some information below. Let's see. We did ask, they did say that, let me see. So we're skipping to 2B, that a patient and administrative separation is monitored through continuous observation unless in the bathroom. There is no restriction on when the patient requests attention, but non-emergency requests for care are responded to on a case-by-case basis based on assessment findings. That kind of contradicts what I think Melissa and I heard when we were on the call with the patient. Then again, we asked if we could see and tour the facility to see an empty admin separation room. They said admin separation is not seclusion. It occurs in a different physical space from treatment unit seclusion rooms. Seclusion rooms are for brief interventions to assist in de-escalation. The patient in administrative separation is not in a seclusion. So touring a seclusion room of another unit would be wholly inaccurate representation of the living conditions. They said the space that has been created for the patient was carefully planned to provide ample room, almost 500 square feet throughout multiple rooms. So it's saying that, and I haven't watched the video, so those that have, they're saying it's 2-bedroom, 2-bath, and a hallway and another room for the patient to move about and not feel constrained in order to provide supportive environment for them while separating the patient from the general milieu for other safety. And again, they enact the code where they're able to do that. Ash is of the understanding that IOC wants to tour the space to determine whether or not it's a human rights issue exists. While they understand our preference for personal observation of the space to make the determination is unclear with the IOT, IOC intends to utilize a standard to evaluate the fitness of the space. Space has been reviewed by the Bureau of Medical Facility Licensing and Joint Commission through extensive hospital life safety code and environment of care standard. The hospital does not believe an on-site inspection of the physical space by members would be productive or would potentially be disruptive to the patient. So one thing that Melissa had sent ahead, if I can find it, and she sent me and Ashley, either one of us, her proxy vote while she's out because her son's graduating. So for the protocol for medical care, her concern was she's still confused by the protocol to get medical attention when we clearly heard the response from the staff in the recording the patient played for us during our patient visit. And it clearly stated they were asking for medical attention and the person was responding that they could not do that unless they got approval from higher ups. So again, it contradicts what we heard. For two, how did they determine, oh, that's two we didn't go over. She appreciates the fact that IOC has followed standards and been reviewed. However, standards and best practices concerning all types of seclusion, including administrative separation, have been changing. The FGI guidelines are currently being updated and expected to be published at the end of 2021, including an updated appendices for behavioral and mental health risk portion of the safety risk assessment. The state uses these guidelines. She's following up on all that, and she'll be able to give us an update. But at the very least, she thinks, as an architect and someone that works in this space, seeing the room would give us a better perspective so we can understand when we talk with the patient.
And Lori, am I remembering correctly that we asked for photos and they said no?
Yes.
So then we asked to visit and then they said no?
Correct.
And is, I missed the last few meetings, so this might have been discussed, but is there only one administrative separation room, or is there another one we could visit with no one in it?
It sounds from the answer that they've created kind of a suite, right? That it's not like the seclusion room. So we don't know. And I think, I think it would be helpful, but they don't seem to think we should see it. I'm not sure where we go from there.
I think we could ask again that we've asked for photos and you said no, so we asked to visit and you said that would be too disruptive also. So what is the option for us seeing?
Okay, can we see a drawing?
Yeah.
We have an architect, and is there a window in there?
Okay, so I'll motion that we ask, now we've asked for photos and we've asked for a visit and we've been declined, so what are the other options? Is there a drawing? We need to know the specs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, is there a drawing or another administrative separation room of the same dimensions that, maybe there's another one. I doubt it, but
okay.
Might as well throw it in there. I'll second it. This is Ashley.
Thank you, Ashley.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. And the other thing on administrative separation to bring up is that they gave us an attachment and the definition. Is it reasonable for us to ask to better understand what does temporary mean? Is there a time limit? How is that defined? 8 months does not seem temporary. I think when we got a copy of patient's treatment plan, and it was, they could rest, but if I recall correctly off memory, every step had to be 8 months between. So it was like, this was going to be years.
Actually,
you know? So I wonder if, what temporary means or how they justify an 8 month. That's from Melissa. How is 8 months temporary between steps? Can we understand, can we better understand the plan, the treatment plan?
Are you motioning that, Lori?
Yeah, I think so, because I don't understand, if the person needs to learn to get along better with others, putting the person in separation for months or years doesn't seem like it's going to move towards that goal, right?
I agree. Well, how should I word the question, though?
Okay. Let's see.
how about you say
I think one of the units is unmuted. If the unit could mute, that'd be helpful.
Yeah,
it's like I know you muted earlier, but now it's unmuted again. Thank you.
How about administrative separation number 20? Like, I'm looking at it's attachment 3 and what they sent, but the defines administrative separation as the temporary isolation of a patient. Like, what is temporary?
Yeah, because I think we saw information from the patient that showed, I think it was 8 months between every step, and 8 months doesn't seem temporary to us. So, you know, one, how is that? Okay, so did you get that, Natalie?
Yes, that's good.
Okay, I'll second. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, so it's so moved. Let me go back to our agenda for the previous one. Okay, so we skipped over. Are there restrictions on when patients can request medical attention? The patient in medical. So I think we did leave that one. I think what we skipped over was the protocol for patients to get medical attention. What's the protocol for when patients ask various personnel for care? What is the chain of command? The hospital has a full staff of medical and psychiatric physicians and providers during the day and on-call doctor at all times, nights and weekends for emergent need. Basic primary medical care provided on site includes regular medical physical exams, basic urgent care, first aid needs, ongoing primary management of hypertension, diabetes, etc., routine preventive care, including immunizations, mammograms, cancer screenings, on-site to the units for all patients. Any acute or any injury or acute medical need is brought to the attention of the appropriate medical staff who evaluates the patient as to appropriate to the particular occurrence. Hospital has a low threshold to send out any patient in any care setting if they feel they need care beyond what they can provide, and they do so regularly. So that was the answer to that one. Okay. Which, again, like Melissa pointed out, was different than what we heard when we were on the visit. Let's see, there are other. We would like a plan for alternative planning for progression, since, you know, the stuff with the forensic units lost essentially, what, almost a year. Because they have to do their approved others and outings in order to move forward. The hospital has begun scheduling in-person visitation for patients, anticipates beginning passes and outings within the next several weeks, depending on Maricopa County rates of COVID and CDC recommendation. Treatment teams will continue to work with patients to maximize their steps towards recovery. That still doesn't say, is there going to be anything done to help make up that year? Or are they just saying, okay, now we're open back up, we start now, right?
Lori, I'm told that they're going to start outings supposedly on the 1st of June. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, you're correct that they have not made any way for these folks to have progressed over this past year or 6 months or whatever they're time frame is, and I did specifically ask during an IDTP meeting exactly how that was going to happen, and was told that the team is making note of people's progress, and that was pretty much the answer I got.
Okay. So I think, yeah, we've asked many times. It doesn't seem like there's an alternative path. They're just trying to get back on to going on visits as long as they're safe. So what do you guys think? Do we drop it, or do we keep asking them to still consider a makeup plan?
Well, you know, I was trying to get some sort of information from them, and they were assuring me that they were making note of positive progress and where my son was concerned, but I still couldn't get any answer as to how that was going to translate into assisting him in his progress once they start outings up again.
So, team, up to you guys. Do you think we should, again, ask if there, we understand now it's going to hopefully go back to the way it was, but is there any plans to kind of make up that last year?
I don't know. I'm stuck on this one, and I'm kind of comparing it to, like, working in the schools. It's mm-hmm. just, like, I'm compassionate for them, but I also feel like it's kind of with COVID, and so people are just getting a lot of grace on, like, doing what they can to get things back on track. And in the schools, we can't, like, make up that school time necessarily, so I don't know. I feel stuck, kind of.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we can let it drop and monitor and see if people can progress. Okay. For the previous...
I think whoever spoke before, I don't know all the phone numbers. I kind of agree with that, because the schools can't make up the time, and there's a lot of things that can't be made up for everybody. So they're going to be effective. It's not wonderful, but...
I wish we could make up everything, but it's just there's some circumstances where it was just really unfortunate for a lot of things.
Okay, we'll let it go for now. Next one was the one that we asked about patient assault by peer sexual behavior, asking if it was the same, what's the protocol, does it get reported to APS every time, all incidents including sexual activity are reviewed by executive risk management team, they're also reviewed by treatment team. Of any of individuals involved, patterns are identified, addressed by the treatment team who transfer patients to different units when indicated. So staff provides the support and redirection, especially when patients from different units are participating in MAL or combined rehab. All incidents of sexual assault are reported to APS within one day of being known, and ASH provides a notice to the patient's guardian. So they do take action if they see a pattern between individuals. And next one, earlier reports asked that they had no medical or labs or facilities on campus. Reports indicated on-site dental, what if any services are. They contract with Valleywise for lab work. Specimens are collected by nursing or contract lab staff on-site and sent to Valleywise. Dental services, including cleaning, x-rays, and dental procedures are provided on the side at the ASH Special Clinic Dental Office on the Civil campus. Hold on a sec. Oops, we're invited to another event, so my husband's on another one, and we're not in our home, so we're not separated by distance. Okay, so they do employ a part-time dentist, and currently they have contracted dental services for those services, and then they do it on the Civil campus now. And podiatry services are also provided in the ASH Specialty Clinic. Forensic patients are transferred to the Civil Specialty Clinic for services as well. And we made a recommendation to consider vaccination. They said that's noted. Again, they sent us their formal policy. So, go back to our agenda. Again, we'll have Melissa provide her work. She won't be here next month either, because she's had a rescheduled vacation, overseas vacation that's now scheduled somewhere in the U.S. But we'll put her on for not next month, but the following. ASH administration update. The only thing, trying to see if I have all my notes, but we went to the forensic unit campus for their community, and it was very, very well organized by the patients. They had written out a lot of their points and their grievances, and they went through them. track if I have all of the items here. Okay. But they went through a lot of them. Again, it was the lack of progression. I recall patient form agenda. One of the biggest areas of complaint is the fact that the patients are only allowed to order from Walk and Horse, which is a catalog, a specialty catalog that guarantees that the items that they put in there are safe and don't have recording devices. So the one that is available to MP3 is so small, it only has 8 gigabytes of memory and no SD card. So people have to continually move music on or off to even have a playlist. So after some discussion, I think it was agreed that if the patients can put together a list of suggestions and submit it to administration, administration will look at that list and work with the vendor to see if they could add other MP3 players. It didn't seem like they were going to move towards opening up Amazon, but they were open to looking at a few of the models. And let's see, again, community reentry. It's been a year since the pandemic. Hospital appears to be reactive rather than proactive. So a lot of discussion on COVID. I think Dr. Bowen and others said COVID has impacted everyone, not just the patients. But, you know, they had a very good point. Staff comes in and out every day, right? So if patients are vaccinated, it's not unreasonable to think that they could go out safely, not into heavily populated areas, but maybe parks or something like that. So again, they had some of the very similar items that we have been discussing. And a patient also was bringing up the fact that they were having trouble getting obtaining the assistance to state-issued identification. I know you also heard that they don't have a notary there like they were supposed to, so people trying to get their paperwork notarized are having difficulties. They also were saying that property request forms have now gotten to the point where you have to do a request form for every item. So if you want 6 shirts, t-shirts or whatever, you have to do 6 forms. And this was to ensure that as items come in, the hospital can see whether it's okay and also see whether you have enough room, because there's only limited amount that people, amount of property that people can bring in. They were appreciative of the new desktop computers. Again, they want greater internet access for more opportunities. Currently, the times are offered, but it's only limited to 1 hour every 3 weeks, and there's high demand. So the patients are hoping to find a way to increase the opportunity by expanding the computer lab hours or reassessing the feasibility of internet access on the units. And they understand it would be pre-approved websites. They also would like a scanner because they have large volumes of paperwork, which takes up valuable space in their units. Again, same request for more recovery treatment regarding education on physical, mental, spiritual, society impact, drug addiction. We've heard, again, the limited access to the dorms from 9 to 11 and 1 to 3. Again, they're questioning that originally the dorms were closed during the day to encourage participation in therapy. Yet, during those times, often there's no groups being offered. So it's like, not offering the groups, why are we being told we have to be out you know, out of the dorm. So that was a question. Let's see. I think that was about it. On my notes from the civil. I'll keep looking. Barb, did you have anything from when you were in there?
Sorry, I was trying to unmute myself. It was my first time in a patient forum, and some of the patients who spoke came really well prepared with information. And it's a lot of the things that we've been discussing that we've heard before in these meetings. I think, you know, the one thing, turns out I went to the wrong unit and I came in a little late, and the seat that was open was next to Dr. Bowen. And I have to tell you what you all know, how condescending he is and arrogant. And, you know, that's pretty horrible to anyone. But, you know, he made certain points, like everybody's been affected by COVID. But that was one thing, you know, that I thought about. And I know the walking horse catalog, as Lori said, has been an issue. So other than that, I really don't have any more comments.
Okay. So that was that. Since we are talking about administrative update, we can, and the forum, we could talk about the visits that we've done this month. So if others want to talk that we're on the visits, then I'll jump in after and can go with my notes.
It feels like progress on anything, any of their complaints is just really, really slow. And I know it's a bureaucracy. I know it's the state hospital, but it must be just so incredibly frustrating.
Okay. So I took some notes on the ones I was on. I know Melissa was on, but she's not here. So for one patient, so we went back and revisited, rewatched some video that was from an incident about a year ago. Ashley, who's on, went to view it the first time, and that was after we had negotiated finally and got approval to view the video, which was not easy. But Ashley went to view it because she has watched videos in her, you know, position. She does that. So she went with us, and it was myself and Melissa. Yeah. And we went and reviewed the video. The thing that was, we wanted to see again after we had reported what Ashley had said, to see if we could understand some of the allegations. The thing that was a little bit disturbing was that the video part that we wanted to see was no longer available. It was started after kind of the, I think, maybe initiating event. So Ashley, you're the best one to speak because you saw it both times.
Yeah, when I watched the video about a year ago, the patient had been, you know, kind of sitting down in an area, and someone walked by, and seemed like that might have initiated kind of the disagreement. But when we went back to watch it the second time, it was shortened, so we didn't see that part of it. So we're just kind of going from my memory a year ago versus
now. I'm not sure. I mean, we did ask if they had the whole video, but it seems like this was the portion that was preserved for whatever reason.
And actually, didn't we ask them to preserve all of the stuff originally? Didn't we request that?
I think they usually do preserve anything that's under investigation.
Yeah. I'm really unclear why. I don't know why only part of the video was saved. Lori, did you have any better idea than I did?
And what was that? Can you repeat that?
On why only part of it was saved?
No, because I think that what we've heard was that they save all videos that are involved in any ongoing grievance or allegation or potential case. So I am not sure why that whole video was not kept. And we can ask, I mean, you want a motion to ask why only a part of that video was maintained or retained?
I move.
Yeah.
If you want a motion, okay. I'll second.
Yeah, and I'm definitely in favor of that. I mean, I know we asked multiple times while we were there in person, but it might be good just to have something in writing, because, like I said, it's my memory from a year ago, but I know the video is shorter. So
that's pretty disturbing that happens.
Okay. Yeah, I will. I mean, I will say, like, the incident of the physical, you know, confrontation was all there. The de-escalation afterwards was all there. It's just that what we've heard the patients say about what happened versus what I saw a year ago are different. And so that's why we went to go review it. And I think the initiating part of it might be important, but, you know, who's to say? I don't know. There's no audio. And I certainly, at least a year ago, had no clue who was patients and who was staff members. And so we did get some clarification on that this time. But yeah, it's shorter. So that's really unfortunate. But yeah, let's ask again. I think we just need to make sure everyone's in agreement, and then.
Okay. So, do you want a motion asking them to clarify if the entire video, including the original instigating event when the patient was sitting on the telephone,
in the phone booth, yeah,
in the phone booth. Okay.
Yeah, if that video still exists, and if not, why that first part of it was discarded.
If not, why not? Why was it discarded? Okay. Well, I second that. Or I think Barb seconded it. Sorry. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. So moved. So the other thing was,
it sounds like someone's like in the checkout line scanning groceries. Yeah. Everyone just make sure they're muted.
Yeah, thank you.
That was me, and I just muted and unmuted.
Yeah. Let's see. Again, one of the patients talked about grievances, and it was talked about staff retaliation again, even being told if they want, you know, that they were to lay low and things would go better for them. So those types of allegations are still bothersome. I know also one patient claimed his possessions after filing some grievances were taken away, and it took them months before they gave them back. He felt it was retaliation. And another patient we heard again, not only from this patient for several times, but also patients have written into Larry at the IOC. He's gotten two letters on people watching people toilet or people that are inappropriate, seeing people that are undressed. So I think, Larry, you said today that Ash is investigating that. I think that's what I heard today. Because we think it's not right that they kind of have everyone out in the day room. And even before they get their meds, because we are trying to tease that out, but even before meds, they're followed into the bathroom and watched. One could make an argument that if it was after meds, they're making sure they're not throwing the meds away, but it's before they're even getting meds. So it makes no sense to us. I think I'd like to ask again, why are patients being watched while toileting, physically watched, like right there?
Yeah, I'll second that.
Okay, Ashley seconds. All in favor? Aye. Anyone opposed? So that's so moved. Let's see, another patient was saying that they are having a hard time getting medical disposable resupplies for their medical machine. That's a complaint.
And the diabetes,
yeah.
Test strips.
Yeah. So. We want to know why, if a patient has put the expense in to get a testing mechanism that doesn't no stick, why the test strips can't be ordered for that machine. And if they permitted the machine to come in, seems like they should supply the strips. So does anyone want to second that question for them?
Yeah, I'll second.
Are you asking?
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. The next patient we talked to, was presented to a multidisciplinary team. They're saying that there have been no code grays called on them. Now they let him out to use the computer due to his lawyers. He gets a half an hour a week, so he's very happy with that progress. He just doesn't feel like he's being treated for his mental illness, that he's just being kind of warehoused off by himself. So that's a sad situation, but we'll continue to work on that. We did speak to a patient by the request of their guardian that he's very, very new to the hospital. And when we spoke to the patient, it seemed like he was pretty guarded and didn't seem like he was very far in his recovery. And I don't know if anyone else wants to chime in that was there when we spoke to the gentleman that just gave us kind of yes, no's to everything. Treated well, yes. Everything possible, good. Anyone respecting you, yes, no.
And I think both Lori and I felt that was because he's not, you know, he's kind of denying his illness. I never remember how to pronounce it. Agnosia? Because he said he was ready to go home, and I'm not sure. I think he's been in there somewhere, had been in, but two or 3 weeks.
Yeah. So that was a little concerning that he didn't seem to have gained any insight, but yet said he was ready to go home. So that was concerning to all of us. On with, like I said, it would be a quick meeting today. So as far as mechanical restraints, looking at that, I did see, again, some really large numbers, 111 minutes, 112 minutes, 115 minutes. Those are mechanical. 171 minutes, 147, 114, and 95. I'm just doing the high numbers, not the lower. 90.
I'm confused. I mean, I certainly understand the need for restraints. But how do they justify that much time? I mean, can't, you know, I know that they could have injections of Haldol to calm them down. I mean, does it take that long for them to be calmed down?
I think it depends, right? I think that if these are some of the ones that I read through incident reports that potentially are self-harming, and they try to restrain, sometimes they do restrain a little bit of chemical, but they're still persistent in self-harm, then they typically restrain them to not self-harm, whether it's, you know, hurt, banging their head, or whatever self-harming behaviors. I think that's primarily, we could ask.
Okay, because I'm not a proponent of giving medication when it's not needed, but I'm also not a proponent of restraints for that kind of time.
Yeah.
Unless I know, like, unless it's for what you said, Lori. But I think we should ask. So I'll motion that we ask, why are the restraints for so long, and are they given, is it because of self-harm? Why are the restraints for so long?
For such long time, durations?
Yeah, thank you.
Do I hear a second?
Sure, I'll second it.
Okay, Dee. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay.
Sorry, who was the first motion?
Barb.
Got it, thank you.
And then as far as seclusions, we had some long ones as well, and this is not the person in administrative separation. They're not in this report, but, you know, 95, 139, 105, 122, 125, 92, 154, 209, 107, 127, 105, 320, 90, 88, 113, just, you know, high numbers. Those are the ones that I generally highlight. And since we're on here, okay. Let me see. So the first one, if you want to take down some incident and accidents, we had some trouble getting in because something was going on with the folder. And when I went in today, there were just tons of folders, but none of the ones I could see. And then when I finally got in, I didn't have permission. So I think they sent it to me in secure mail. Let me see.
I'm sorry, Lori, you said they sent it to you to what?
And via secure email, since I couldn't get it from the server.
Okay.
So the first one, I just had a question because I have no idea what this means. And it was ASH 2021-1294. And it talks about a patient just getting his EFC weight with registry staff. I'm not sure what that means. Does anyone know what EFC is? Because after that, there was an incident that involved involved an officer coming to take the report of an incident. See, the thing that was interesting is the officer did come and they asked for footage of the incident. The camera review took place and it did provide a good view of the incident as occurred. So they were able to do that, and a copy of the surveillance footage was provided to the office of the chief of security for further review. So there are times where they do have good video. But I was curious on EFC. Next one. This one was disturbing. So this was #2021-1301. And what occurred was this patient came up to staff and their right arm was bloody. And when they looked, they had cut themselves. And when they asked, and they handed over a piece of tile, like from tile in a bathroom, and they went and searched and found a missing tile in the bathroom in the connecting patient's room, and they searched and found the tile was from the bathroom was underneath the mattress, and that was being used to cut open their arm, right? So this is on the 10th. Again, they note that that's why they inspect units, but later on in the report, we'll have this same patient doing the same thing. Yeah, over two weeks later. So if I jump down to that one, my question is, why wasn't there, on 4/25, so 15 days later, came out and they had used a tile to open up an old wound and started bleeding again. And when they searched, they found more pieces of tile, more sharp. But there, an emergency work order was called and they came to replace the tiles. But the patient had to go for nine sutures on their arm. I just wish they would have done that the first time when there was evidence of broken loose tile and the patient was using it to self-harm. I would have hoped that it would have happened earlier. So that's why I note that one. The next one, which is #2021-1321, a patient hit another patient while in line for blood draw. And as you read through the notes, they say that there were not as many staff present during this code, so no physical holds utilized, but they were educated to provide presence and support and discourage forming lines, as this increases the probability of those interactions as this one person continues to fixate and using opportunist assaults on his peer. But I mean, if it's one person, I'd hope that they'd separate the people. But if it's, someone that's been in ASH as a visiting family, there are often lines. There's lines to go out for soda runs. There's lines to go out to the mall. I'm sure there's lines for meds, lines for... So I don't know how you discourage forming lines. That's how they transport people from one place to another. So I question that. So I was going to ask, when you say don't form line, how do you propose getting people places? Getting the patients their medicines, getting the patients to go from one place to another. If it's a personality to people, then separate them. But I don't know how else they can deal with that. We had another one, ASH 2021-1325, and this one was related. It was a lot of assaults on staff this month, but this one is related that the patient became very combative during med time, and they're at the medication window. They think the medicine's poison. So, and because of that, the person overreacted and did assault the nurse. The nurse pressed charges, and the patient was taken off and placed in custody, taken off grounds. So that's unfortunate. Again, I would hope that if they know someone tends to not be compliant and think that their meds are poison, that they do something about it.
Wait, they were taken to jail?
Yes.
For refusing their meds?
For punching a nurse.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That's the nurse decided to press charges. Now, there are so many reports. I can't tell you the number of staff assaults, and it cannot be underscored. And most of the people don't press charges, and they're hit a lot.
Yeah.
But this one happened to press charges. There was one, I don't know if I read it, but there was one that a staff was hit so hard, they were knocked out. The next thing they knew, they woke up and they were staring at a nurse, and they didn't press charges, even though they were told to call the employee line. So it's tough. Here's one, ASH 2021-1340. A patient swallowed a crayon, and the doctor determined they need to be seen in the ER because swallowing a foreign object, and they think that also there was a previous coin. So they were sent to Valleywise, and Valleywise admitted them. So it's interesting because we had, I think a month or two ago, batteries, which I think are much more dangerous, and they weren't sent. So, but this time they were.
Lori, can you repeat the number on that one again?
That was 1340.
Thank you.
Okay. Then I had another one, 2021-1369, sexual activity between patients. Staff observed one patient running his hands down another patient's back and over her buttocks, and the patient didn't seem to be bothered. Then they observed patient calling the other patient and then taking their hands and pulling it downwards. Then they intervened.
Lori, can you tell me the number on that one again? Sorry, I was typing the other one.
1369.
Thank you.
And this this one was sent to APS. I'm just wondering if it's the same pair that we've had other incidents about. That's why I noted. I didn't have time to call administration, but I will ask about that as well. If it is, I'd say keep them off the malls at the same time. Now, here was another one that was medical, and it's 2021-1450. And a nurse practitioner came to a unit checking a patient for injury. And when they were checking for that injury of the upper body, they noticed some extreme swelling, really extreme, even though there was not a complaint of pain, but they noticed the swelling since the previous day. So they sent the Valleywise, and it was a cellulitis, and then they returned back to ASH on antibody treatment after being admitted at Valleywise for a couple of days, with notes to watch and check for any newness or any worsening and monitor for safety. So that was a good one that the nurse did notice something that the patient was not complaining about. I think almost done, 20, 21, 40, 14, 58. This one, a patient was near a bathroom, stopped where the cabinets of towels are, and they asked what they were doing, and they were picking off wood from the cabinets and swallowing it. So when they, they appropriately intervened. Then they had noticed when the patient was later sick that they had also plant matter, even though they hadn't eaten any vegetables or salads for the past couple of days, but they had been in areas where there was vegetation. My question on that is, like the wood that was peeling off doors that took a while, does there need to be a work order for this cabinet that has peeling wood? It's either peeling wood or I don't know what it is, but I was going to ask about that when I talked to administration. If you guys agree.
Lori, where was the plant matter? I'm sorry.
In the vomit.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah. And the staff went after that and noticed that there are other areas of that wood lamb that was being picked off, such as under the nurse's station counter and other areas of cabinets and tables. So I'm a bit concerned. Maybe they do an inventory and make sure that that their equipment that's peeling be removed, especially from the unit where someone is trying to ingest.
I agree that for you, you said you would ask.
Yeah.
Do we don't.
Yeah, we could vote. Well, I mean, do you guys agree that we should ask that they inspect and that they repair or remove?
Yeah, we can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This isn't the first time. Yeah. I feel like we've talked about this. So.
This is Natalie, and I'll motion to that.
Okay.
I second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay. So moved. Aye. And that was it, because the next one was the one of the tile again. So let's go back to our agenda. The other thing I wanted to mention is that we haven't forgot about the investigation that we're carrying forward on one of our patients. Now we have, I know that Ashley's done with her review, and I think Melissa was done with her review. Barb, I'm not sure if you were, and I don't know about Alice. Because I didn't review it. We're waiting for everyone to review before we discuss the results, if you can determine if there has been retaliation against the person. So do we need more time? We can't do it tonight anyway, but we do have to see when we're ready to discuss and go into executive session next month, or probably the month after when Melissa's back.
This is Ashley. I'm done with my review, so whenever it works for everyone else.
Okay, so let's plan on not next month, the month after. Next is, and we talked about the retaliation concerns. Our ASH legislative bill was supposedly heard on the floor today. I don't know. I haven't had time to look to see what happened. I hope it passes, but I'll find out. Membership recruitment. Barbara gave me a name of a forensic psychologist, and I did speak with her, but she has no bandwidth. Does not want to. She recommended forensic psychiatrist in Tucson that may be interested that I have to reach out to. Any new business? Anything that I forgot you guys want to speak about? Any new business you want to discuss?
Nope.
Okay. If not, we can go to open public comment.
Oh, hi. My name is Isaac Contreras.
Hi, Isaac.
Hello.
I want to just. The minutes?
Yes, I do. Please. Okay. I want to report the retaliation is real. Yeah, I went to Cradio on the 18th. A staff member, made it an effort to get me to go off or get me upset, which he did. So as I'm in the patio, he runs and he tells, and I mean, you can't see, but the camera will show that he's pointing at me and telling him to send me back to the room while the staff member is telling that other staff to leave. Well, that staff member comes and sits next to me on the other side of the bench. Mm-hmm. And it's his name is Chris. He's of African descent. And these people, well, I can't, like, anytime I move up, they keep on bumping me down because they say that I'm doing this, I'm doing that, so I can't progress. And that's the thing. I have not had no code gray calls. I haven't had no nothing called like that. Only medical code. Ash thinks they're above the law, especially Bowen. They think they're above the law because the things that happen, the things that they do, it's not even legal. And then they cover it up and lie and say this and that. But if you don't mind, I got my MP3 right here. It's a Kobe 6204 gigabytes.
No. Okay, look, hey. Hey, no, we got to go to the prison. I'm going to get fired. I will. So, I really don't want to get fired. I don't. So, they neglect me to do the room. But Lorena, you're denying me medical attention. You're denying me medical attention. I think you're denying me medical attention.
No, I'm not denying you medical attention. I'm just delaying it. I'm coming.
So, excuse me, that's the one that you guys heard. I played it off my earbuds from the Kobe. That's where I'm being denied medical attention, and yet they say no. I have over 2 years of recordings. A lot of the things wouldn't be possible because we're never taken serious. But I don't know if you heard the person says, I don't want to get fired. Then they said they got to get approval. Let me see.
So you're delaying it. You're delaying it. Yes,
unless it's like threatening, which
is
not.
So you're delaying the medical attention.
So that's the where I'm being denied medical attention. They say it doesn't exist. I got this, and I'm playing this from my MP3. It's a Kobe MP620. It doesn't have recording capability, but this is throughout the time when I was able to record over 200 conversations of things relating to me. They always point me out to be the bad person. They always do everything like that. Keeping me in administration separation is not even the way they're going about it. It's not legal. And they're lying. They keep lying. They keep lying. I'm telling you, I have nothing. But if you guys check the website, Arizona State Hospital, Isaac Audio, or Juan Romero, or Arizona State Hospital, Isaac, legal videos, there's a playlist. And on that playlist, it shows you the exact how much space I have, which is nothing. Whatever it is they're saying, that's a lie, because where I'm at, it is isolation. It is the same rooms where they tie people down at. And those videos, I uploaded them to YouTube so everybody could see. And those videos don't lie. I mean, it's not like I did special effects. So it shows the diameter, how big my room is. It shows what area it is that I have to walk, which is nothing. How they covered up my window. So it's this is not a healthy environment. If anything, it just tends to make things worse, because I'm getting out soon and I really do need help. And these people don't want to give it to me. And that's not even right. I don't understand what gives Ash the authority. I mean, what makes them think they're higher than the law? There's a reason the law was written, and these people do not follow it. And yet, obviously, they're not answering your guys' question, because they want to hide something. If you have nothing to hide, then you're like an open book. But if you look up the Arizona State Hospital Isaac audio, there should be a playlist of it's called Legal Videos, and you will see a green thing, that's my bed, and the basically what they call a therapeutic environment. Then you'll see me mopping the floor, which is a little area. So I was able to record all these with the cell phone. These people don't want to show you guys. I mean, what is there to hide? Other than this place is horrible. Other than they're saying that it's different. It's not. I'm in the same environment that they put a person in. I'm in seclusion. I'm exactly in seclusion. It's like if a person acts up, they put them in there and tie them down. That's where I'm at. There's no other place. There's no. I don't know where they're getting it, 500 yards or I don't know. I'm not understanding what they're saying, unless they're thinking I'm walking in circles. But yes, my name is Isaac Contreras, and I would like to meet with the IOC when possible. And thank you guys. Right now, Jeff Real is working, so he's a nurse that likes to retaliate and make things up, but they get away with it. That's the thing. We don't have nobody in here. In here, we have nobody, but yet these people get away with everything they do. They do whatever they say is strong, and yet we are always meant to be liars. That's why I have these recordings. They say they never denied me medical attention. I just showed you that the person said, I'm not denying it. I'm just prolonging it. Oh, today's Sunday, so we're going to have to wait till Monday. And that was just to address the wound that was bleeding. Thank you very much. And if possible, thank let you. Me. All right, thank you.
Okay, thanks. Anyone else?
Hi, this is Chris from Sango, Chris Martel.
Do you want your name in the midst?
Yes, ma'am. First, I wanted to go off of what Isaac was saying. This place lies to cover up everything. There's not, there's probably 5% of the people that work here that would tell the truth, if that, and they'll probably get fired right afterwards. That is absolutely truthfully going on. I'm also wanted to talk about the video with the altercation that you guys were speaking about. There's several video angles. They should have kept all video angles. And there's one in the day room that's right above the TV. It's a little distant, but it would have showed the entire altercation. I was hit 3 times. My understanding is you guys didn't see me get hit once. They also cut out when that guy, when I first got up, he did start it. He threatened me and came at me. That's the supervisor nurse. And he kept turning around and talking smack and like wanting to come back. That's why that's gone. But there's several cameras. I don't know why they're just playing one video. I think they're playing a video, and then when something happens they don't want you to see, they skip to another angle and they drop out all that video that they didn't want you to see, and you're seeing it from a different angle. That's the only thing I can conclude of. The other person has no problem talking to you and letting you know that this happened, that he hit me 3 times. When I went down by the phone booth, when I went down by the ping pong table, and when I first hit him, he backed up, and then he came right at me, and he hit me. And that's when he ran, and I ran after him, and everybody grabbed onto me. So they're supposed to hold those for 7 years. all the videos. I don't know why they haven't. There should be all the angles. They shouldn't be showing you. You should be able to ask for the one above the TV in the day room. That one camera will show you not up close details, but the majority of what happened. So if you can get that, that'd be great. Also, I'm being told, I'm trying for a new Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act. I'm Christian Science, and I'm trying to get lecithin, which is non-toxic and FDA approved for food use. My belief is to not use this toxic stuff. It has several side effects. It's my Christian belief that if there's a God-made material that's safe and works for, it just makes me feel better. I told the lawyer for here and my treatment team about this, that I was warning them that they're breaking my traditions and my religious beliefs. And I saw Dr. Bowen and Kara Christ, and I told him about it, and he said this was not a constitution. I said, then what is it?
I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's been 3 minutes.
What's that?
I'm sorry to interrupt, but it's been 3 minutes. Each speaker gets 3 minutes.
Okay, I think I had like 10, but okay, thanks.
Thank you.
This is Chris Briscoe.
Hi, Tim. Do you want your name in the minutes?
Sure do. The thing with MIC and you pee in the bathroom and poop, I was told by Scott Norman, the social worker, that it was due to safety reasons. I told him there are safety rails for handicapped people in each bathroom in the front of the dorm where they lock it off. And he said, well, it's this and that, other safety issues that you might regurgitate your pills. That's all BS. My mail has been being tampered with. I had my stimulus check sent here. A staff member decided to take them out of the hospital on their own accord and send them back to the IRS. Grievances and complaints, all I keep getting is extensions only from a certain person. They keep claiming it was COVID. I wasn't here because of COVID. That's been a couple months ago that they've been back now. Why do I still have cases open from last May with this person? I don't understand. That their investigation, I can never be substantiated, and they're doing, sorry to say this, half-assed investigations, because they're not talking to the other people I'm telling them to. Like, one was about slamming my door in the middle of the night and shining a flashlight in my face. They couldn't substantiate my claim, but they didn't talk to my roommate who it was happening to either. I got moved the other day to Sago unnecessarily from administration. They said it was a choice. After I filed 15 grievances in one night, I consider that retaliation. They were going to give me my old social worker back. Her name is Diane Wagner. After I told them that I would never work with her again because I called her a couple names because I had $6,500 to $7,500 worth of jewelry stolen from me. I called the police department, made a report. The cops came out and asked to speak to my social worker. She said, oh, it's not my best interest to talk to you guys. There's no law library or access to a LexisNexis or Black's Law book online. I had an assault video. It got lost within 3 days. They're supposed to keep them for 7 years. And
that's 3 minutes, Tim. Sorry to interrupt.
One last thing. The EMF weight that you guys were talking about, I think that's what you said. I think that is when they weigh somebody in the morning and periodically through the day, to make sure they're not having too much intake of fluids because of water toxicity.
Thank you.
And I would like to talk to you guys on, or see you, or talk to you guys on the phone.
Okay.
I would too. Chris Martell would like to talk to you again on the phone if possible.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, do we have anyone else? If not, have a motion to adjourn.
If there's nobody else, is there any, by any chance I could say something else?
We have a hard stop at 7:30 tonight, so we have like 1.5 minutes left.
Okay. Well, no, I would like for you guys, if you guys have the time to go and look under that website, you will see exactly the videos of my area of what I'm allowed and what they're saying, they're lying. And retaliation is serious because I get it all the time. But thank you very much, and I'm sorry. And yeah, this is Isaac Contreras.
Thank you.
Lori, this is Deborah Bykowski.
Hi, Deborah. Do you want your name on the record?
Yes.
Okay.
I would like to know if there's a government entity for quality control for air pollution.
Probably. I don't, you know, off the top of my head, I don't know. I mean, as far as in ASH or in society at large?
Well, I need a government entity to go into ASH for the air quality for filters and to change the filters and clean the tubing.
I am not sure who would have authority. Oh, well, I'm not allowed to answer. Sorry. I lost my head. Public comment. Sorry.
Call the EPA. The EPA.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, anyone else? If not, I would like to motion to adjourn.
I'll second. This is Ashley.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. We're so adjourned. Thank you, guys. I will send you a little poll to see when people can do visits. And have a great evening. Talk to you later.
You too.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.